Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
To this morning, and if you have your Bibles with you, what's happening? Eyes on Jesus, please. Okay, eyes on Jesus. Let's get into the Bible this morning. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, and I will read a few verses, discuss a few things, and then go have brunch. Anybody have plans? Yeah, a few plans? Okay. Well, the Sizemores will have you over. They got plenty of room. You guys just, if you don't have plans, just come up here and we will help you out. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Any Blazer fans in here this morning? Okay. Come on. Tonight, some of you just don't even care since the Jailblazers happened. But listen, we're back, okay? Rip City, let's believe. Come on, support the team. I would have worn my hat, but it's Easter, and my mom would have gotten mad at me. So I had to comb the hair over this morning. All right. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another." That's us, the beloved. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God." Whew, ouch. "For God is love." I'm going to say that one more time for dramatic emphasis. God is love. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, to take our place for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Awesome. Let's go over to a little unknown verse in John 3:16. We'll grab this today. I know what you're thinking. Really? John 3:16? Really? Isn't that cliche? Isn't that, you know what? It's as good as it gets. John 3:16 right here. This is what it's all about. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." For God so loved bad people. So loved the world. Not church going. If you go on Easter, then he loves you. If you don't, you know, we don't know the chances of that. But God so loved the world, everybody, bad people, that he gave his Son. He gave the best. He gave everything he had. Really, he gave himself. That whoever, that's a little easy. It's a little vague. It's a little, you know, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Let's talk for a few moments this morning, and I'm going to speak on death. Death by love. Death by love. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for Easter. Lord, that this is all about you, and Lord, it's cool to celebrate, even as a nation, even as the world would come together. Even though it's commercialized, it's incredibly awesome, Lord, that we can celebrate the centrality of Easter and one of the biggest dates on the calendar, which is the resurrection of you, of your Son, Jesus Christ, which is cool. And so we gather, Lord, in this free country, in this place this morning, Lord, to lift up the banner of the greatest story ever told. Lord Jesus, your death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that we have life. and we have it in you. And we just pray this morning, open our eyes, open anyone's eyes, Lord, this morning, that we might all see Jesus more. Lord, by leaving this place never the same again, only because of you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you came to church this morning, hopefully you were greeted. Okay, if you weren't, I apologize. But we do our best to try to be friendly. You know, not just being fake, but we try. We try to greet people, and as you come, we try not to have the, hey, good morning, praise the Lord, welcome to church. Even though that's cool too, if that's your cup of tea, and you just kind of want to put on the cheesy smile. And, you know, we try to be authentic and connect. You can't always do that, but, well, when you try to connect with people coming to church, you ask them, you know, hey, how you doing? Or what do you do? We don't typically, if you don't know someone, or even if you do know someone, greet them with, you know, so who are you? It's like, it would be a little intense. Who is this Encarnacion? You know, it's like, sorry, too many times Nacho Libre. But it's like, who is this Carrie Maddox? Like, I don't know, but I'm leaving now. I'm going to another church for Easter. We don't ask that, but we ask, you know, what do you do? And it doesn't necessarily mean that's who that person is, but it's a peek into who we are. What we do says a little bit about who we are. What we do in our free time says a little bit about who we are. What we do when no one's around is sort of a snapshot, maybe 1% or some portion of who we are. What we watch on TV says something about who we are. If you watch Dancing with the Stars, it says you need prayer, right? I would think. So, or The Bachelor, Bachelor Nation. I have watched a few episodes just to know what culture is watching, right? Just to know what's out there, just to kind of get a pulse of the people. Don't hate, Bachelor's real, okay? Don't hate. Huh? Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to preach. But, you know, it's whatever you watch, see, whatever you connect to, what you're drawn to, your hobbies, says something about you. There's stuff that we do that we have to do, but then there's things that in our spare time sort of we're drawn to, kind of take over, find a place in our life, and it says something about who we are. The way we dress says something about who we are. I love people who take an hour and a half to put themselves together, roll up the jeans, layer everything up, do the hair, to somehow, you know, say and show, I don't care what people think about it. I don't even care what I put on today. Yet it took them an hour and a half to get the look of I don't care. It's like, okay, it's cool. I respect that. But whatever it is, it says something about who you are. If we were all to go to a party, we all have different ways of going to the party and interacting and carrying ourselves. And some of us, no matter what party, if it's a kid's party or if it's a formal, we find a way to be competitive. We find turn everything into a sport. It doesn't have to be a board game or a basketball hoop or a ball. But I typically find a few people. We'll find some way to compete with each other. We'll find a cup and we'll throw it in and we'll find a scoring system. We'll find a way to have, you know, a game. Some people, it's not a party until you've had like 10 deep conversations. And so you find people that you're going to connect to. And you're connecting with someone. It's not really, so you're going to find someone else to have a real deep conversation. Some people don't want to talk at all. So they're just looking for the corner. They can find a place. They can just sort of escape, observe, people watch, think, take in. We all have different ways of interacting, different ways of being drawn to people, different ways that we do. And it all sort of has a little snapshot into who we are. Kind of reveals a little bit about who we are. When we think about God, what is God? Who is God? This verse, that God is love, is a snapshot into who God is and what God's all about. That God, He doesn't just have love. He doesn't do love. He doesn't use love. Ladies and gentlemen, He is love. He is it. He is. Layered fabric within the everything. He's love. It's like, but it's funny how much time we spend. I wonder what God's up to right now. I wonder what God's doing. I wonder if He's mad at me. I wonder if He's frustrated with me. I wonder if He's just flat out done with me. Because I know I'm frustrated with me. I know I'm a little guilty. I know I wish some things would change. I'm a little frustrated at my growth or my place in life? Well, I bet you he is. The problem with that is he's not. He is love. He's in love with you. He's doing, being all about 24/7 love. He is love. He cannot not be himself. I don't know how many knots were in there, but the point was he's loving you. He can't not love. Why? It's who he is. He's love. He's being love and doing love right now. He loves us. He loves us for who we are, which we love that statement in church, right? He doesn't love you for what you do. He loves you for who you are. You're like, yes, that's right. The problem is we're actually pretty evil and sinful. Glad you came to church this morning. Like, amen, brother. Can we just sing that song again? Can you get off stage and bring up the worship team? It's like, because see, you don't do acts of lust. You're lustful. You don't do cheating. You don't do lying. You're a liar. You're a cheater. You don't do acts of craziness. We're crazy. We're lost. We're sinners. But I love it because we think it's a do thing. So if we can put like us and like 3 years between us and some crazy sin or some crazy weakness, then we've beat it. But isn't it funny when something goes dormant for a few years and all of a sudden like poof, pops back up in your life and you're like, what? I thought I dealt with that. Because it's not necessarily something that we're doing. Doing comes out of who we are, and who we are is crazy, weak, and in a state of sin. And Christ said, hey, you couldn't even do anything good enough anyways. I love you for who you are, and who you are is, well, when we really get down to it, it's pretty lost, pretty sinful. Paul described it. I do what I don't want to do. What I do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. Paul's proclaiming. He's like the worst pastor ever. I'm the chief of sinners. Paul, sit down. He's like, I've discovered that there's sin in what I do? No, in who I am. It's on the inside of me, and I can't change myself. And yet we think that we can. We think that, well, you know what? Victoria's Secret commercial came on, and I, like 29 seconds, man. It's a new record. Last month was like 33 seconds, 29, I'm winning. It's like, okay, good job. If we can just get it to 5 seconds, I'm holy, I'm pure. And this is not what we do. You're lustful, you're selfish, you're crazy, you're depressed. You don't just do depression. Ice cream and Pink Floyd and lots of Led Zeppelin, you're like, oh my God. I'm depressed again. Oh no, I got prayer for that. I got counseling for that. I beat that. See, what you do comes out of who you are, and there's only one thing that can change and save humanity, ladies and gentlemen, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can get on the inside of you and change it and make a change. And then yes, out of that, there'll be some more changes, but to think that we can somehow do and please God and be holy and be joyful and be peaceful within ourselves is a joke. It's who we are. But that's the good news, that Jesus loves us actually for who we are. And it cannot change because he is love and I am who I am. And when I discover who I am, I now more discover who he is. I'm a sinner, but he's my Savior. I'm unlovable, but he's love. I'm depressed, and he's my joy. I'm confused, but he's my peace. I'm lost and distracted, but he's my counselor. I'm in the dark, and he's my light. He's my way. I'm uncomfortable, and he's my good shepherd. He's everything. I come into contact with who I am, and I realize who he is. I'm the sinner, and he's the Savior. And he loves me. He is love. He is who he is all the time. It's funny that we wonder about that, though. I wonder if God really does love me. Like, I genuinely wonder if, like, God is pumped about me. Like, right now, do you think, like, God's just, like, ecstatic about who you are and where you are and what you're doing? Like, literally. But we're sitting here talking about God's love. Yeah, but you don't know what I did last night. You don't know how many. You don't know, really. you know, I shouldn't be in this place in life, you know. He loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We question it. We wonder about it. We try to figure it out. But we don't ever spend time trying to figure out if, like, ice cream is going to melt. Right? I might scoop up a scoop of ice cream, or realistically probably 4 or 5 scoops. Small scoops. Small scoops. Jamocha almond fudge. But me and Carrie never sit back. We're like, I wonder if it's going to melt. It's melting. It's crazy. Every single time. I don't put my toe into the Pacific Ocean and wonder, I wonder if it's going to be freezing cold. I wonder. And Jude and Trent are out there like waist deep. This is great. I'm just like, I don't know how little kids do that. Their body goes numb or something. But I don't wonder if the sun's going to go down tonight. I don't wonder if the sun is going to set or rise. I don't wonder if I eat a whole box of Oreos if I'm going to get sick. Happens every single time, but you can't stop. I dare you just to go home and eat 2 Doritos tonight. You cannot. The whole bag will be gone. Don't judge me. This is I'm preaching the truth right now. Doritos and Oreos are of the devil. Okay? But I don't wonder those things. But yet we sit here and we wonder if God loves us. He is love. He loves us unconditionally because the condition of his love never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have the audacity to wonder if he is who he says he is. He is love. It's not changing. It's not based on our condition. It's based on his condition. And he ain't going anywhere. He is the embodiment and the fullness of love. He loves us. He loves us. He's for us, not against us. He's madly passionate in love with us. And we think, well, it's not about me. You know, it's all about him. But you know what he's all about? Me. He's love. We wonder. We wonder. We question. I love this verse. My wife, trying to give you credit, babe. My wife found this in the Message translation. The Bible says that his love is the wonder of the world. We want to put that up somewhere. His love is the wonder of the world. And you go from wondering and questioning to being in wonder. Wow. My gosh, he loves me. Questioning to trying to figure it out, to literally going, just being blown away to the mystery of who he is and his love. You go from trying to think that God's just trying to get me back. Just trying to get me back for all the things and trying to like use things and try to, and then you realize he's love and you, to have this perspective change. Oh, he's trying to get me back. He's just simply trying to get me back to who he is. Why? Because he's love. He loves you. He's trying to win you back. God is love. He loves you and he loves me. He's in love. Let's read about a little about who God is. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. We read this as a love chapter, and it is, but this is also a God chapter. This is a revelation of who God is. God, yeah, he suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God does not parade himself. God is not puffed up. God does not behave rudely. God does not seek his own. God is not provoked. God thinks no evil. God does not rejoice in iniquity. God rejoices in the truth. God bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things. God endures all things. God never fails. Because God is love. Jesus is love. The law had to come and expose the reality. The Old Testament had to come and expose the reality, the situation that we were in. The situation was bad. The situation was death. We were in need of a savior. The law came in to like open up the windows in a room and let the sun shine in that we could see all the dust and see all the detail. And when the law came in, it exposed the reality that we were in need of a savior. We could not save ourselves. We could not change ourselves. No matter what we did and what we performed and how many prayers we prayed and how many times we went to church and how much we worked on self sort of change and figuring some things, we could not save ourselves. So the law came in to scream the need. Hey, this is bad. Game over. Humanity is lost. And the law screamed the need for a savior. The law prepared the way for Jesus. The law prepared the way for for love. So love came. Love came to earth. They expected love to build a kingdom. They expected love to rule as king in some sort of demonstration of power and force and change. And love didn't. Love came and died on the cross for you and for me. The greatest act in human history was not an act of demonstration or of power. It was an act of love. It was an act of humility. Love came and died on the cross. Love. Death by love. In the beginning, love gave us free choice, and we chose not to love love itself. Then immediately, love went into action to do whatever it take, whatever it could take to get us back. Any means possible. The Bible is a love story. The Bible is the story of love doing whatever it took to win us back, going to the cross, dying for us. Death by love. Love put on flesh and blood and walked with the very people he made. Love would teach with such authority and intensity and yet kneel and wash the feet of you and me. Love would walk with beauty and holiness and yet dine with prostitutes, sinners, and the worst. This is love. The greatest thing that love ever did was not teach or was not preach. The greatest thing that love ever did was an act of love. A demonstration of love. Love went to the cross. Love hung on the cross and said, your problem is my problem. Your issue is my issue. What you're going through, I'm going through. Your fear is my fear. Your lack of money is my lack of money. Your tomorrow and what daunts you is what I'm going through. Your problem is my problem. Your relational issue is my relational issue. I'm with you. I love you. Love took on what was meant for us. It says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. God so loved bad people that he gave his son Jesus. He gave something good. Check this out. We're bad. We're the world. We're lost. And he says, oh, I'm going to give you something good. I'm going to give you my son Jesus. So we're bad. And Jesus' response is, hey, I'm going to give you something good. Paul says it this way, where sin abounds, where there's bad, grace abounds much more. So where there's bad, I'm going to give you some good. I'm going to give you some grace. I'm going to give you some mercy. I'm going to give you some love. I'm going to hook you up with who I am. I'm going to bless you. It doesn't make any sense. It's all backwards. The rich young ruler came to Christ and said, hey, good teacher. And Jesus let that one slide because the guy thought it was based upon him being good. He was a good teacher, didn't even know he was the Son of God. But Jesus let that one go and said, yeah. So I fulfilled all the commandments. And Jesus went, cool. Jesus, knowing that he didn't fulfill all the commandments, but he went along with it. I've done so many good things. And Jesus went, cool, there's only one more thing to do. You got to sell it all. Rich young ruler, oh, can't do that. He didn't realize this isn't based on what you do and don't do anymore. This is based on what was done for you. There's a new sheriff in town and his name is Grace. And it's no longer a system or a strategy trying to figure out some sort of contract or some sort of negotiation or some sort of religion. This is Jesus Christ, the gospel, the power of God and the salvation, saying with everything that I am, all I want to do is demonstrate my love. Everything within me, all I wanted to do is shout out of heaven, give my son, put him on the cross so that humanity would never question, does God love me? Does love love me? This is a story. This is a message. This is a demonstration that you would never have to question. This isn't some sort of give to get and negotiation and, well, if I do this and I don't do that, he said, just wanted to tell you that I love you. I tell you that I love you. That love came and with every fiber and with every ability and every demonstration and every resource possible, love came and took our place on the cross. Love came and died as us so we could live as him. Because he loves us. And John figured this out. If you go on in 1 John, he says, oh, I think I'm starting to get that I didn't love you first, you loved me. Wow. That the gospel, the great commandment, love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, actually can't even be fulfilled if you don't encounter love. You can't love God if you haven't discovered how much he loves you. That's the gospel. So the gospel is encountering you. Love is coming after you. Unconditionally. And when you realize, when you discover how much he loves you, when you encounter how much he loves you, then in that moment, oh my gosh, I love you. I love you, God. And in that moment, you can fulfill the great commandment. Because you discover how much he loves you. I love him because he first loved me. And that's my goal in life, that's the New Testament, people, is to love God. But you can't do it if you haven't encountered how much he loves you. That God is love and he is in love with you. He's infatuated. He's head over heels. He went to the cross for you. He did whatever it took to win you back, to win us back this morning. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let love and let the death that love took for you and for me to encounter you this morning. Just take a moment and let love encounter you. Let love speak to you. This could be a life-changing moment for certain people in this room. Hopefully for all of us, because love is continually encountering us. Showing who Jesus is. I just want to give you Jesus. I just want to give you Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his son. God so loved us. He so loved us. He so loved us that he gave us Jesus. That he gave us Jesus. That we could in return simply just love him back. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray with you. We're all family. We're all on the same team. We're humanity. This is a room full of sinners saved by grace that have simply said, you know what? I believe in the story. I believe in this love story. I believe in this God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I want to receive that today. I want to know this love. If you've never prayed, if you've prayed before, but you want to rededicate, if you want to receive this prayer by faith to say, I'm in. I just want to know him. I want to let him encounter me that I might love him in return. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody in this room, thank you. Just slip your hand up. Awesome. Don't be embarrassed. Just put it up. Just quick, put it up. Put it back down. I just want to pray with you this morning. Awesome. This morning, just pray after me. Jesus, thank you for taking my place, dying for me on the cross. I thank you for loving me. I give you my life. Come into my heart this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to release anybody that I think everyone's already back there. We got a few baptisms this morning. And if you just prayed that prayer, or you prayed that prayer of faith to say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving me everything. And you want to be baptized or you've never been baptized, we have a few extra. It just happens. We have a few extra sweatpants and t-shirts back there. Now, we'd love to baptize you if this morning you're saying, man, this is my moment. I feel God. I know God. I hear God. I sense God like I never have before. You know what? I want to get baptized. I don't know how we're going to do this because I didn't really plan or think about it too much. But if you want to do that, just slip your hand up. If you want to get baptized this morning, you know if there's anybody at all, or let one of our ushers know, and you can just go on back there. Yeah, there's some people back there praying. If you want to get baptized, don't miss this moment. I know your hair is combed and you probably got to go do brunch, but the slick, wet look is good anyways, okay? It's a good look for Easter. Don't let this moment go by. Find someone with a lanyard or slip out. We'd love to baptize you this morning. Let today be your day. We're going to baptize a few people. We'll go for it right now.